God's grace is yours. In Jesus, amen. God's word for our meditation this morning recorded in Genesis chapter 28, previously read. In the name of Jesus, who said, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I with them." Dear fellow redeemed. Have you ever experienced anything like what we're going through these days? I mean, basically to be locked up in your house, forced to stay away from other people for fear you might catch a virus that has the potential to put you in the hospital, if there's room, to be treated by a medical staff, if they have the right equipment, as you wait for a vaccine that may or may not be developed, all while thinking about, what about your job? Who's going to take care of the kids? Are you going to be able to pay the bills? How long is this going to last? What about your elderly parents? How many people are going to get sick? And how many are going to die? It's enough to leave anybody feeling a little anxious, a little unsettled about the future. When you realize that we've got to cope with all these things while we're separated from people we love, that makes it all the harder. Is it any wonder that people are anxious and feeling alone and afraid? But you realize we are not the only ones who have ever experienced some of those emotions. Down through history, people have endured all kinds of things that led them to have some of those same feelings. Today, we're going to meet one of those men. Today, we turn our attention to an event in the life of the patriarch Jacob. We're going to draw some parallels between what he was going through then and what we're going through now. And we will find that what Jacob discovered to be true in his life is also true in our lives today. It's the wonderful truth that the Lord is here. He's here with his presence, and he's here with his promises. Now, I said we were going to draw some parallels between Jacob's situation and ours, or maybe more specifically, between Jacob's emotions and our emotions. Like what emotions? Well, how about the fear of dying? I mean, tell me that hasn't entered your mind as you watch the death toll rise from coronavirus, as you hear about deaths coming closer and closer to the Fox Valley, when you realize that very likely you are going to know people who contract this virus, some of whom may die. That's scary. Now, did Jacob experience any of those same emotions? Well, let me put it this way. If you come into contact with the wrong person and you contract this disease, your chances of dying are about 1.5%. If you're Jacob and you come into contact with the wrong person, like your brother Esau, the chances of you dying are like 100%, right? Remember, he is running away from Esau because he stole his blessing. What does Scripture say about this event? When Rebekah was told that her older brother Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and told him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. That's why Jacob is on the road in our account. And it also leads to another emotion that Jacob, and maybe you and I too, are experiencing. Namely, the feeling of isolation. Isn't that right? I mean, we're kind of in a new world here. The concept of social distancing has become the new norm. And while technology allows us still to talk and chat and video stream, there's still a lot of people that we can't be with. People in our family, people in the Mount Olive family. We can't gather like we used to. We can't give people a hug, and that's hard. But wasn't that what Jacob was experiencing too? I mean, even to a greater degree. Back in 2020 BC, there were no cell phones or Google Hangouts. This man really was isolated all by himself. He's already traveled 3 days' journey from his home, and he's got 20 days of journey before he meets anybody he knows. Chances are, as he lays his head down on a hard rock, he too is feeling isolated. And also maybe a bit concerned about his future, including his economic future. He later is going to relate that he left Beersheba with just a staff in his hand. How can he not be thinking about where's the next meal coming from? Where am I going to stay? How long is this going to last? Can you relate? As you think about, do we have enough food? Do we have enough TP? How long is this going to last? The very same thoughts that are running through your head and mine were running through Jacob's head too, as he laid all by himself on the ground under a dark sky. But there was one more thought that was weighing heavy on Esau's heart, and that is the feeling of guilt. As he lay there all by himself, how could he not be thinking about what he did to his brother? He used deception to steal the blessing that his father intended to give to Esau. And when his father, whose sight was fading and was beginning to suspect something was up, what did he say to Jacob? Jacob, are you really my son Esau? Jacob's response, I am. A bald-faced lie in his father's face? That's what's weighing on Jacob now. Jacob knows he's now eating the fruits of that sin. His sin had now separated him from his family. And he was afraid it had also separated him from his God. Again, can you relate? No, maybe it wasn't our specific sin that caused this whole coronavirus. And we aren't where we are because we did something to make God mad. But tell me that thought is not kind of spooking around in the back of our minds. I mean, when we review our lives, when we think about all the times that we lied to get what we want or to cover up what we don't want other people to know, when we think about the times that we've not been subject to the authorities, when we've kind of played pick and choose which commandments to obey, when we just kind of went through the motions in our spiritual lives, haven't we found ourselves wondering, I wonder how God feels about me. Maybe God is kind of fed up with me. Why wouldn't he be? Maybe God is kind of turning the tables on me. Now that all this bad stuff is happening, maybe that's because for so long I acted like I didn't want to be with God. Now he's decided he doesn't want to be with me. When you think about what's in your heart, you realize it's not hard to see that that too may have been in Jacob's heart. The question is, did God have anything to say to Jacob? Anything to do to address the fears that he felt? You bet he did. He did it in the form of a dream. Our text tells us, when Jacob reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending, kind of a picture of taking Jacob's needs and prayers to God, and then descending on it, them bringing back God's help and assurance. And the most important feature was who was at the top of the stairs. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. God identifies himself with his covenant name, the Lord, the God of free and faithful grace, the true God, the eternal God, the all-powerful and knowing God. That God said to Jacob those four most important words. I am with you. Those words made all the difference in the world. It didn't change Jacob's outward circumstances, but it changed his attitude. He wakes up and says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Jacob, in effect, is saying, here I was all stressed out because I lost track of the fact that God is with me. God Almighty is at my side. What do I have to be afraid of? Again, isn't the same thing true for you and me? No, God doesn't come to us in a dream. He comes to us in his word. Or more specifically, he comes to us in the word, the one known as Emmanuel, God with us. In Christ, God is with us. Because of Christ, God is with us. When God took on human flesh and dwelt for a while among us, and then carried all of our sins to the cross, he erased everything that separated us from a holy God. In Jesus' perfect life and innocent death, we have fellowship with God. Jesus has made us part of God's family. We are, in effect, members of Christ's body. Isn't that comforting? I mean, especially in the kind of strange times that we are in right now. I mean, thank God that he is not restricted to a particular building, a particular place. God is where his people are. You realize what that means? That means wherever you happen to be right now, if you're sprawled out on your living room couch in your pajamas, God is with you. If you're chopping veggies at the kitchen table as you're watching this on your laptop, God is with you. If you're sitting in a hospital bed listening to the Bible app on your phone, God is with you. Wherever, whenever you hear God speak to you in the pages of His Word, you can say exactly what Jacob said. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. That's what it means to know that in His Word, the Lord is here. And yet, if you think about it, when Jacob was there at the place he called Bethel, the house of God, God said more to him than simply, Jacob, I'm with you. Not only blessed him with His presence, He also blessed him with His promises. Promises that were going to give Jacob's heart something to cling to when his eyes could not see exactly how those promises were going to be fulfilled. Look at the promises that God made to Jacob. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. That's the promised land. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. Israel would become a great nation. I will watch over you wherever you go. And maybe the most important promise of all people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. What is that other than the promise of a Savior? I mean, which of Jacob's offspring could possibly be a blessing to all mankind except the one who would take away the sins of the entire human race? So why does God make all these promises to Jacob? Because God wanted to give Jacob something to hang on to when things got hard in his life. Like when he gets ripped out of 7 years of wages by his uncle Laban. Or when he has to finally meet up with Esau and is afraid that he's going to lose half his family. Or when his sons come to him and tell him that his son Joseph is no more. Those were all hard. And yet, God's promises kept Jacob's faith alive and growing. Again, isn't the same thing still true for you and me today? Even though there are a lot of things that we don't know about our future, I mean, at least our future between now and the grave, still, God has given us promises that we can cling to. For example, in His Word, God promises, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God promises, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God promises, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And God promises, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. In all things. Regarding that promise, do we always see the good that God is working when we're in the middle of a crisis? No, we don't. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we see that God can use even this coronavirus crisis for His purpose. To lead us, to turn our attention away from the things that really don't matter and focus on the things that do. As families gather together for their own worship services in their home, as young couples open a Bible to openly talk about their fears and find comfort in God's promises, as hundreds, if not thousands of people go online to watch a Mount Olive service for the first time. However God plans to use this COVID-19 crisis, you can be sure it's going to be for our good and His glory. St. Paul said it so well, didn't he, in our epistle lesson? If God is for us, and He certainly is in Christ, then who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, whether that's viruses or pandemics, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. My friends, that is a promise that you can stake your life on. Entrust your future. Entrust your present in the hands of your God. Because there's no better place to be than in the hands of a gracious, loving, powerful Savior God. For then you can know that, as Jesus once said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. God grant it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.